Good day, Cyclone fans, and welcome to another installment of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast on the road today. We'll get to that in just a minute. First of all, I want to thank today's presenting sponsor. That is our good friends at Agrigold. Love our relationship with Agrigold. One of the things I genuinely do love about it, growing up in a small town, I know how important the agriculture community is to the great state of Iowa. I went to Iowa State for 4 years. My wife went to Iowa State for 8 years. Agriculture, the science behind it, a massive part of our lives, and I really appreciate good companies, quality companies like Agrigold supporting farmers all over the Midwest, not just in the state of Iowa. Agrigold, today's presenting sponsor of the podcast. What I do today is earlier on Wednesday morning, headed up to the Iowa State football offices. And I sat down with Greg Brabadick. He is the football ops director. You'll hear all of this in our intro. Biggest Cavs fan I know. Biggest Cleveland fan I know. And I thought it'd be fun to talk to him about it. We wanted to get some of the other guys, but Iowa State is going to be doing some camps across the country. Not a lot of coaches in the Iowa State offices today. But I thought we would we do touch a little bit of Iowa State football, specifically at the beginning of the podcast, and then we do a heck of a lot of NBA Finals talk with a diehard Cavs fan, Greg Brabadick. So that's what we do today here on the podcast. Also, presenting the podcast today, our friends with the Nitro Circus that is coming to Jack Trice Stadium coming up on Saturday, direct from sellout shows across the globe. It's the greatest sports show, action sports show, and it's coming to Ames for the first time ever. 30 of the world's best athletes in freestyle motocross, BMX, plus insane contraptions launched from 40 feet high. It's the Nitro Circus coming to Jack Trice Stadium on Saturday. Get your tickets at nitrocircus.com. All right, here we go. My interview. We talked some NBA Finals and a little Cyclone football mixed in. All right, guys, we're on location today. We're up at the Iowa State football offices where last year at this time I started to learn that the Cleveland Cavaliers had a big influence up here. And if you follow this guy, my guest today, Greg Brabadick, on Twitter, we call him Skip. That's all you're going to see. And Skip, I don't want to even talk to you about Iowa State today. Is that okay?
Oh, that's perfect.
I just want to – you are the biggest Cleveland sports fan I've ever seen. You're like – what was that old show? Drew Carey?
Drew Carey show.
Yeah, you're like Drew Carey.
Oh, yeah. Drew Carey from Parma, Ohio, just outside Cleveland. But, yeah.
Oh, he is?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a fact?
Oh, yeah. He's from Cleveland, the pierogi capital of the world down there. And
wow.
Coach Schaefer's from Parma over there, too. So Parma's kind of the home of the pink flamingos and the front lawns and all that stuff. So when you see all that, it's kind of famous in Parma.
Good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick before we get into the series, tell us, so what, you're the ops director here?
Yeah, director of football operations. So I do kind of all the fun stuff that no one likes to do. I oversee our budget and our schedules and Coach Campbell's day-to-day schedule.
You get stuff done.
I get stuff done. Oh, yeah. So any issue that arises with the players or staff or anything like that usually comes across my desk, and I kind of got to figure out who to go to. And I don't have all the answers, but I usually can direct them to where the answers are.
How did you get hooked up with Coach Campbell originally?
Yeah, I went to Bowling Green in Northwest Ohio, about 20 miles south of Toledo, kind of a big rivalry there, Toledo and BG. And,
yeah.
And my freshman year was Coach Campbell's first year on the field coach on Division I. He was the offensive line coach.
Okay.
And I was with him for 2 years there as a student assistant. And then when that staff got fired, he went up to Toledo. I finished out graduating Bowling Green. And then soon after I graduated, about 10 months after, Coach Campbell became head coach at Toledo and offered me to be a defensive GA.
So did you guys like keep in touch during that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
So as much as we can, a little bit. With the BG Toledo rival, it was kind of hard, honestly. Like, it's a kind of a big deal there in Northwest Ohio. And but he's a Northeast Ohio guy, so we always kind of had that special bond when we were at Bowling Green together. And then when he came up to Toledo, he offered me to be the defensive GA, and I was the D-line GA for Coach Rashid now. And
nice.
Kind of started there. And then one day we had a couple staff turnovers, and he's like, hey, you're going to be the DFO. And I was like, oh, okay. So I kind of was at the right place at the right time with that. Had no experience in kind of this role at all. I wanted to be an on the field coach. And
yeah, do you still want to do that someday?
I don't at all.
Because I've talked to Micah at basketball, and he's just like, most guys are trying to work up, and he's just in love with his role, and I'm cool with it.
Yeah, and the one thing I love about my role is I have a relationship with every player on the team. I'm not with just the D-line where I only talk to those guys. And our staff's not like that totally. But my job especially, I get to – and I'm not just football too. I love football to death, but if I was in a room watching film all day, I'd go crazy. I couldn't do it. And I'm outside. I get to people and businesses around the community, and I'm not just dealing with people on campus. So I really like that as a part. I'm just not in the office all day. I can kind of go see people.
I wanted to ask you real quick before we get to the series. I'm putting together a piece on your guys' schedule yesterday, and that Akron game is so weird. Because usually, like when Iowa State went to Toledo a couple years ago when you guys were there, and I'm like, it's really hard for a Big 12 team to get juiced up about going on the road like that, and it's just awkward because it doesn't happen very often. I kind of feel like this year might be different though. That's a really big deal to this staff specifically, and usually what the staff deems is a big deal, it trickles down to the players.
I think our players will kind of feed off our energy that week, and
you guys will really want to win that game.
I mean, we want to win every game, but this game, it's a special homecoming. I think we got about 12 guys on our staff over here, whether they're graduate assistants or full-time guys, that are from Northeast Ohio, Akron area. I mean, Akron's 20 miles south of Cleveland, so we kind of classify that as greater Cleveland area, Northeast Ohio, all lumps together, and I get a chance to go home, and I guarantee you we'll have plenty of Cyclone fans there.
Yeah.
It's going to be pain trying to find Coach Campbell 40 tickets and try to get him 50 sideline passes for all the people there. But
I bet it'll be at least 50-50. Iowa State fans will travel to that one.
They'll travel to that one, and I can promise you, like, I don't know if you've been seeing stuff on Twitter and stuff with all the Iowa State stuff being sold in Ohio. It's kind of, I don't know what happened. Yeah, but it's kind of a joke. I think Busted Coverage is an Ohio-based sports media, and they always tweet about, how is this Iowa State? I'm from Olmsted Falls, and there's a Target in the neighboring town, and there's tons of Iowa State hats and shirts there. And
nice.
I mean, you're in Ohio State, you're in Buckeye country over there, and to have some Cyclone stuff there is pretty funny. So,
were you a Buckeye fan growing up?
No, I was not. I grew up a Notre Dame fan, so some family that went to Notre Dame and kind of grew up loving the Irish. And
so, how old are you?
I'm 27.
Okay, so that your glory years growing up
would have been
with the Weiss year when they went to the
Brady Quinn was he's still my all-time favorite football player to ever put on pads. So when the Browns drafted him, I was the first one to get his jersey, and I was a diehard Notre Dame fan. That was with Bob Davies, and then you got Tywin Willingham. They had a little run there. Then Charlie Weiss had it going there for a couple of years. And
I still can't believe Ty Willingham ended the way it did.
Yeah, it was kind of out of nowhere. He was only there for 3 years.
Yeah.
He didn't fulfill his contract. And, I mean, he went to a BCS Bowl one of the years and kind of struggled there his last year. But there's so much pressure there at Notre Dame. It's, if you're not winning a national championship, you're on the hot seat no matter what.
And, yeah.
It's good or bad.
As you see right now with Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly, hopefully they get it going. I'm still an Notre Dame fan at heart, so I still follow them a little bit. But they just hired a defensive coordinator by the name of Mike Elko, who was the defensive coordinator when I was at Bowling Green, one of the guys I still stay in contact from that staff. And he's a great dude, a great, great person, great recruiter, great football coach, and he'll get them turned around there on defense.
Have you ever heard the Brian Kelly Iowa State story?
I have not.
Oh, man. He was this close to being the Iowa State head coach when he was at Central Michigan.
Yeah.
This was when McCarney got fired, and they hired Chizik. There were actual media reports that Brian Kelly had accepted the job. Now, you know how Jamie Pollard works.
Yep.
I call him Stealth Pollard during these coaching searches. He had his guy, Chizik, the whole time.
Yep.
But Kelly interviewed and I think wanted the job. And there were multiple reports out that Brian Kelly was Iowa State's next head coach, coming from Central Michigan. They hired Chizik, and he ended up going to Cincinnati instead. Yeah. But I love, like, I want to write a book someday about coaching trees. I don't know if anybody would write it, but, like, I'm fascinated with coaches, both in basketball and football, and, like, these, like, stories of who almost went where, when. Like, they just fascinate me.
Yeah, they're crazy. They're out there. If you can get some good ones, there's plenty behind the scenes that the average fan doesn't know about that are pretty good.
Yeah, you're not kidding there. All right, so I came here to talk about basketball, the NBA Finals tomorrow. Yeah. I had Golish on KXNO yesterday. He's not a Cavs fan.
No.
So that was interesting to learn that he's
a Knicks fan, I think,
Knicks fan. Yeah. He basically said nicely that he just stays away from the office during the NBA Finals because of guys like you.
Yeah.
The intensity's about to ratchet up around these hallways. Is that correct?
Yeah. I'm the most – I think Channing Frye wrote an article in the Players Tribune to be the most obnoxious Cavs fans you've ever seen. And I'm not there yet, but I'm pretty close. I think I can get it to another level. Like LeBron said that he's going to take his team to another level. I'm going to take my fandom to another level for this final. So you'll see me wearing my LeBron jersey. I got a lucky shirt that I wore every finals game last year. So I'll have that on for most of the time.
You've got a couple of LeBron. You got a LeBron and the Kyrie print.
Yeah.
Behind you here in your
house. Got a couple bobbleheads.
Yeah, you got the Kevin Love bobblehead here.
Yeah.
What was that like, that experience last year, like for you?
I can't even put into words on how excited I was and how awesome it was. I was able to go home. I think I've told you the story where I was here in Ames for after game six, and I told Coach, like, hey, I hope you don't care that I'm not going to be at work on Monday. I need to go home to the Cavs game on Sunday. And sure enough, he bought my plane ticket to head home to go watch the game. I was at Winking Lizard downtown. I remember when Mo Spates missed that last jump shot and they started screaming. The bartenders were just passing out beer and celebrating. I was bawling my eyes out, so happy. So, it was just really special, and hopefully we can do it again.
So I have a great memory from game six, too.
Yeah.
My background, I'm a Jordan guy.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm a Bulls fan.
Yep.
It was very organic as a kid. That was when they, you know, 91, when they won their first title, I was 7. So it's kind of when you're first starting to watch WGN. They're on every single night. And They really haven't been relevant for a while. They were okay there, but you never thought that they were going to win a title, right?
Yeah.
When D. Rose was the MVP and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it was weird. Last year, they get down 3-1, and I kind of liked the Warriors because Harrison played there, and I covered him for forever. I used to cover Ames Tribune basketball, or Ames High basketball for the Ames Tribune. So I knew Harrison well, and I was rooting for him. And it just, like, I was on vacation, and I was watching that game at a bar in this, like, beach bar in Florida, and it hit me like LeBron's greatness.
Yep.
And I always knew he was great. Something hit me during that series, and I'm like, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I'm jumping on the Cavs bandwagon here.
Yep.
Now, I've been rooting for the Bulls, right, especially now with Freddie there and all that stuff. Like, they're still my favorite team. But I am rooting so hard for the Cavs in this finals for so many reasons. One, I love LeBron. And two, I cannot stand the Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
Just like the transformation that franchise has made over the last year just drives me insane. Do you feel that way about them, or am I on an extreme here?
I can't stand the Warriors. They're up there with my top three most hated teams in sports, them, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're up there for who I hate. And what bothers me the most is, like, the LeBron haters and how he whines after calls, all that stuff. He does. Like, it's whatever. It's the NBA. But nobody does it more than Steph Curry. But people like Steph Curry just because whole Under Armour deal.
He's quiet.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like, he just shoots threes. He's going to go in all the time. And then Draymond Green, who's out of control, whining at every time, never fouls. Klay Thompson calling out people, called out LeBron last year. His dad.
His dad.
Managing his money still, yet he's going to call LeBron a kid.
Yeah.
And then KD, I don't hate KD's irrelevant to me still, so I'm probably going to eat those words here in a couple weeks. But
see, KD's what turned me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even – I went on the radio the day he signed with the Warriors, and my whole take on it was, I'm not going to kill this guy.
Yeah.
This is a guy who's wanting to win. And as fans, we always – We don't want it to be about the money all the time, right? We want guys to want to win. And I'm like, this is a guy who has X amount of years left. He's trying to win a championship. But pardon my French, he's gone there and he's been nothing but a little bitch ever since the day he walked into Golden State. And he's so defensive. He there's one thing that KD could do that could turn me around, and that would be leave Golden State after this year and go to Washington like LeBron did. Go home and try and win a championship for your home city. Now, that would make me respect him a lot. But, like, I don't hate the fact that he went there.
Yeah.
I hate the fact how he's acted and how that team has acted around it. And you're right about the irrelevant thing. Might be a little strong.
Yeah.
However, he's not the most valuable player on that team. They didn't even need him. They would be in the finals without him.
Yep. I mean, they won 73 games without him. I don't know how many they won this year, 67 or whatnot. But the pressure's all on KD now. Like, they're the heavy favorites with the Cavs. And KD is arguably the second-best player in the NBA. And he's made the team with the worst record. And obviously, they swept to get to the finals. And he's really good, an MVP. First bout Hall of Famer, but the fact that you said he's so defensive, and every time the media asks him a question, he's firing right back at him. Like, why would you ask me that? Like,
yeah,
you're in the limelight now. You're on the best team in the NBA. You're in the best team for the past 3 years. You're Kevin Durant, got your own shoe. Like, you're going to take this criticism. Like, if LeBron was that defensive, he would be.
Do you agree with me that LeBron is treated more unfairly than any athlete in history?
I had this argument in the office last week, and I got pretty heated, and I had to walk away. But I think people disrespect LeBron James more than any athlete. No one has had more hype coming into a career than LeBron James. He was 18 years old saying he's going to be the next Michael Jordan on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And not only has he lived up to the hype, he's exceeded the hype. I mean, he's been to 8 finals. People are going to say that he might be 4-4, 3-5, depending on how this series goes. And then they say, well, Jordan's won 6, he's 6-0. Well, do you want LeBron to lose in the first round? And Jordan lost in the first round 3 times. LeBron's never lost in the first round. Like, I'd rather have him go to the finals and give it a shot. I mean, he's taken horrible teams to the finals before, that first one and with the Cavs, and then 2 years ago when Kevin Love and Kyrie were out and he took them to the finals. Like, mm-hmm. Just the disrespect that we give him and always saying he's not even close to Jordan, all this stuff like that, it just infuriates me.
I got really upset after game 5 in the Eastern Conference Finals when the guy has 34 points, his team wins by like 13. And the next day,
a bad game. Yeah,
the next day, all it is like, oh, well, without Kyrie, he's screwed. Well, you know, without Jordan or without Pippen, like, Jordan wouldn't have won 6 titles. Like, it's a team sport. Like, that's when it really – I've been saying this for years, that LeBron is unfairly criticized because of the era that he plays in. Jordan didn't have Twitter. Jordan didn't have 24-hour news cycle like LeBron does. And if he did, who knows how long he would have even been in the league with his gambling problem.
Exactly.
And LeBron has 34. His team wins by 13 against the number 1 seed, and we're going to kill him the next day?
Yep, on the road, and I think he still shot like 56%. Like,
it's insane to me.
He's the most efficient player like in the NBA right now. I mean, he's averaging, I think, 32 points on 56% shooting. He's shooting the best three-point percentage in his career right now in the playoffs, and people are dogging him whenever he can't shoot a jump shot. Well, he's shooting better than he ever has in his career, and his career's been pretty damn good. So just the people that always are, and I know there's the LeBron haters and all that stuff out there, and people that love LeBron, and he's with him being on SportsCenter 24/7, I can see why people hate him.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm completely biased. So
what was your relationship like with LeBron after he left?
Yeah, I remember that night. It was summer. Yeah.
Were you burning jerseys and stuff?
Not that my brother was, it was Warped Tour in Cleveland that day. I remember because me and my couple buddies went to the concert. We come home and I'm watching the decision in my room, and I had a LeBron poster on the wall, like a witness poster, all that stuff. And I remember him saying where he's going to Miami. And I was so pissed, and I started screaming. My mom comes in my room. She's like, it's just a player. And I probably dropped a couple F-bombs and stuff at her. And it's like, it's not just a player. And my dad comes in yelling at me, like, you can't, blah, blah, blah. You can't talk to your mom like that. And I think I was going to be a senior in college at that time, too. So right around then. But I was the first one to hate LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely hated him. But then that summer when he said he was going to come back, I threw away all my jerseys except one. So I'm like, this is my favorite jersey. If he ever comes back, I want this jersey. So I still got that. But I remember when he came back, me and Coach Manning were hanging. We were the only ones in the office that day. And I remember I had a bottle of champagne waiting in my fridge in my office for when he came back. And sure enough, when he announced it, I popped that bottle and got in my car and drove to Cleveland.
Well, see, and that's part of the deal too, man, why I like LeBron.
Yeah.
Because he made a mistake.
Yep.
Not by leaving. I'll never fault him for leaving. How he did it was a massive mistake.
Yeah.
But he was young at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that – not the fact that he came back, because that was fairly predictable. I think we all thought that would happen at some point.
Yeah.
But the backlash from your owner,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the burning of the – for him to be able to just – I'm going to put all that aside and come back. Like, to me, that's another reason to respect the man.
Yep.
It speaks volumes to me.
And I think a lot of people outside of Cleveland hated Dan Gilbert when he wrote that letter.
Yeah.
I can promise you everyone in Cleveland loved that letter.
Oh, yeah. He rallied the troops.
He rallied the troops. He's trying to sell a product to people in Cleveland. He ain't trying to sell something to people in Detroit or whoever. Like, he ain't trying to sell it to people in Miami. Like, he's going to write the letter. He's going to know how he feels. People in Cleveland love Dan Gilbert. He is on the Mount Rushmore of entrepreneurs and all that stuff in Cleveland, helping save the city. And when he wrote that, people were happy. And then I think him coming home, like when he came back or when he left, people were so mad at the decision. They got that he left. They were okay with, like, not okay, but pissed off. He's leaving. Totally didn't understand why in the heat of the moment, because you know how passionate it's like Cleveland sports fans are. They're mm-hmm. kind of like Iowa State fans. And just...
They are, in a lot of ways, very similar.
Honest to God, I try to tell people that Iowa State fans are exactly like Cleveland Browns fans. Like, Cleveland Browns haven't had much success that the fans would like in football, and it's the same here. We haven't had that much success in football that fans would like. And when that turnaround – it's all about the journey. When that turnaround happens, because it's going to happen, I say it's going to happen for the Browns too, like, it's going to make it so much sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why the Cavs thing was so sweet, that they stuck with the Cavs. And really just the city of Cleveland when it was down, and then watching the whole turnaround, it was that much sweeter. And like I said, for Iowa State football fans, it's going to be the same. So,
I'll tell you this. They've had the success in basketball.
Yeah.
And you've seen the amount of support.
No doubt.
And I don't want to diminish basketball, because Iowa State's a very passionate basketball fan base. There's nothing to do in Ames in the winter except go to Hilton Coliseum.
Yeah.
When that happens in football,
yeah,
I mean, you're talking about the difference between 14,000 in Hilton and 55. Yeah. Like, there's going to be a really big party.
Yeah,
at some point.
I remember being home at the parade in Cleveland, and Coach was like, "Can you imagine the parade? What's going to be like in Ames?" Like, no, it's going to be crazy.
But, that's what I love about you guys, though. Like, you guys really believe that.
No,
I mean,
you got to.
And I've just been around long enough where. I think it's good. Like, when you hire a coach, it seems like the coaching list that people come up with, there's always a connection. I kind of like the fact that none of you guys are really here 10, 20 years ago.
No doubt, yeah.
I think that there's a benefit to that. I think just the fresh start aspect to it.
Yeah, I think it really brings a whole fresh start to it. And honestly, like, I'll be the first. I knew nothing at all about Iowa State until we played them a couple of years ago when we were at Toledo, and coming here and like, holy cow, this place is really cool.
You guys still owe Cole Netton for missing that kick.
I know, right?
None of you would probably be here right now if it weren't for Netton missing that kick.
Yeah, there's a couple other factors in that game, but that's the one thing that Iowa State fans can talk a little trash to us on.
That was one of the toughest post-game shows I've ever had to do, by the way.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
Absolutely brutal. The fire roads, the pitchforks were out after that one. But anyways, back to basketball. Yeah. Did you read the piece a guy who I've come to like, and I think will be an X factor in the finals, is Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
Did you read the Zach Lowe piece on him, by the way? It just came out yesterday.
Was it the one on how he is the most important to the Cavs or something like that, the most efficient player?
Yeah, basically, Lowe went and interviewed all of his college coaches and AAU coaches and stuff, just about the junkyard dog type of player that he is, and how he's just a – mismatch nightmare as far as what he can do on the defensive end. This is my take on the series. Before, I don't know, probably a week ago, I think I probably would have taken the Warriors in five or six. I actually think that I'm going to pick the Cavs now. I think there's a lot of intangibles that are going their way. For one, the 9-day layoff for Golden State.
Yep.
Two, little do people know that Klay Thompson's only shooting like 38% in the playoffs right now.
Yep.
Three, LeBron and Kyrie are playing their best ball of the year right now. Yeah, and Love, like, look at what he did against the Celtics. And I feel like Tristan Thompson's a guy who, But and we saw it last year too. Like when the lights are on, yeah. he is. I mean, he's like Rodman-esque on yeah. that defensive end.
Yeah, he'll give you 10 points a night, hopefully, but he'll give you 15, 20 rebounds, and yeah. 10 of them will be offensive rebounds, and he'll give you that extra possession on offense.
His goal, he's quoted in the story, is to get 5 rebounds a quarter.
Yeah, I mean, when we signed him into a contract a couple years ago for like $88 million, people in Cleveland were kind of torn, like, is he really worth this money?
Yeah.
Like, when Dan Gilbert has it, who cares? Pay the guy. If he wants to pay him, pay him. And he's – without him, I mean, the Cavs aren't even close to as good as they are. He's one of the probably X factors that doesn't get enough credit. Him dating Khloe Kardashian kind of scares me a little bit. I don't want the curse or anything like that. But
they recruited him here.
Yeah, really?
To Iowa State.
Yeah.
I remember I actually called –
got the Canadian connection there a little bit.
They did. Yeah. I actually remember calling him on a recruiting call.
Huh.
Yeah, I interviewed him and did a story on him, and he ended up going to Tech. Who was – was that McDermott? I think that was the McDermott years.
Yeah.
When that still happened. But, yeah, I think he actually may have visited here,
really? Yeah,
believe it or not.
Drafted the same year Kyrie was, and everyone in Cleveland had no idea who he was. Sure enough, a couple years later, he pans out to being one of the best.
Wasn't he the fourth pick?
Yeah, he was the fourth pick, and Derek Williams or
Darren Williams.
Arizona was the second pick. I forget who the third pick was, but we got 3 of the top 4 players on that draft on the team now.
Yeah.
So
that worked out.
I'd say so.
How do you think the series – I'm going to take, by the way, I will take the Cavs in – I'm going to do it. I'm going to say the Cavs in 6.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's like last year, Cavs in 6.
I've been really torn on my prediction. Like, I know the Cavs are going to win 100%
Whoa.
On that.
Okay, I'm not that far. Like,
no.
I was super torn here. But
yeah, and I don't know if the Cavs are going to sweep them. I want them to. I hate picking, like, Cavs in 6 because that means they're going to lose 2 games, and I hate picking the Cavs to lose ever. But I think they'll win in 6. I think they'll win at home. And I think the party in Cleveland will be bigger than last year.
I think they'll win 6. Game 1.
I think they'll win game 1. I think if they can split the first 2 games, whether game 1 or 2, then I'm going to feel pretty confident in what they can do. And I saw today a lot of people on ESPN, I think like 23 of the 27 reporters picked Golden State to win in 5 like,
yeah.
or 6 or whatever. Like, just again back to the conversation of disrespect for LeBron, like 5 games, like, come on.
Well, let's break down the matchup here.
Yep.
You've got LeBron's the best player on the floor.
Yep.
So we'll give him an edge over Durant.
I was gonna say you have to put him with Durant, I think.
Yeah.
And like I said, people say Durant's probably the second best player, but LeBron's never lost a playoff series to him. I know he's only probably played him once or twice, but
yeah.
career number wise, LeBron's are head to head matchup with KD is way heavy towards LeBron.
So I give the Cavs the edge there.
Yep.
Kyrie and Steph.
Yeah, and this is where I am torn because I'm 100% Kyrie. I think he's way better than Steph Curry. And Kyrie doesn't get enough respect. Like I said, how LeBron does. Kyrie is the handles, best point guard in the NBA.
The dagger that he hit at the end of the quarter in game, whatever,
right? Yeah.
versus the Celtics.
Yep.
The cross, and then he just like the fadeaway 3 at
the end of the
half.
I can watch his highlights all day.
And, sick.
And I still stand by he hit the biggest shot in the history of the NBA when he hit that 3 last year. And Curry's kind of gone away in the finals the past 2 years. He can't. Kyrie's a hard matchup for everybody, especially for Curry, who can't play any defense to begin with. And
I love your disdain for Steph Curry. It's great.
I didn't used to hate Steph Curry as much, I swear, until like 2 years ago.
Because he's the one guy I don't really dislike on that. I don't like Clay. I don't like Draymond, and I can't stand Durant. Curry, I'm okay with.
Yeah, but like Curry last year, game 6, or was it? It was game 6. I watched game 6 last night again. They had on NBA TV. And Curry threw his mouth guard. Like, could you imagine LeBron throwing his mouth guard? What would happen to him?
Yeah.
He would be the lead on SportsCenter.
He would be persecuted the day after.
And that's what's like crazy to me. Like, no one even remembers that, and like, and he was, that's like the part that just drives me absolutely crazy.
That's my whole point with LeBron. He's treated differently than everybody else.
Yep.
And maybe when you're the greatest
Roughly
of all
so.
Time,
yeah.
you maybe that
come
happens.
With the territory.
Just like
bit.
If you're the president of the United States,
yep.
people hold you to a different standard than
exactly.
than a, you know, a regular guy walking down the street.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I'll take Kyrie.
So
over.
You're taking Kyrie?
I am. I know people are going to say the 2-time MVP is... But
Ross and I had this conversation yesterday. I was saying even.
Yeah, I can. Yeah,
I said even, and Ross said you got to give the edge to Steph. So yeah. I'll go with even here. Who do you put with Love? Draymond, or does Tristan Thompson go with Draymond?
That's another hard one because you don't know where. I mean, Clay. You probably. I'll go Clay probably with JR.
Yeah, yeah.
Have to be probably
JR. I forgot about JR.
Yeah, and I'll give it to Clay. I'll take JR though. Like again, I'm gonna take all five Cavs guys. But
what's going on with Clay though? Because he's not the same guy right now. I mean, I know he's had some spot good games, but his stats are really down.
I really think it's and I'm not. I'm a hockey guy. I'm not a big basketball guy. But so based on what I've been reading and watching and stuff like that, Clay's a guy that's going to need a lot of shots and keep going. And I think he's stat-wise, he's getting the same amount of shots, but they're not coming in the same rhythm. And it's hard when you got to share the ball with three other guys who
are
Hall of Famers. But he's not getting them in the same rhythm before. And he's one of those guys that he can't just shoot once or twice a quarter and get a lot of garbage points at the end of the game to kind of make up for the lost times that he usually would have had it in the past. So, but if you're going to go Clay and JR, I'm going to give it to Clay, but I'll take JR. He's the streakiest shooter, and when he's hot, you got to ride that hot hand.
Yeah, I just – everything that we've talked about, I feel like all the intangibles go Cleveland's way. And then we haven't talked about Steve Kerr.
Yep.
Now, I know that that hasn't been a big deal up until now, and that team, to a point, kind of coaches itself.
Yeah.
But when you get to this level, to this point – I feel like if he's not there, that is an advantage to Cleveland.
Yep, and I've seen Mike Brown coach when he coached for the Cavs twice.
You're very familiar with him.
And his incompetence to draw up an inbounds play is still mind-blowing to me. I remember the year he came back, the year before LeBron came back, the Cavs could not get an inbound pass to save their life. So that's kind of what I lean towards here with when he's coaching for the worst, because those are end-game things that you can't control as interim coach. I know their whole base system's all in place and whatnot, and Kerr kind of is has a different attitude towards the game and all that stuff, which is why Warriors are so good, and they have that same mantra that he possesses. But I'm going to go Ty Lue. He's got the ring, and Coach Brown doesn't.
So. Yeah, he used to play in Hilton Coliseum, Ty Lue, back in the day. Yeah,
Nebraska guy.
Yeah, he used to play here quite often. He was really good.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going Cavs in six. You're going Cavs in...
I don't want to go the same as you.
Five.
But I want them to win it at home, so I'm going to have to say Cavs in six, too. But I can't wait for that, and I got to make sure my schedule's cleared.
I just feel like the fact that all these experts are so confident. I mean, I've seen sweep.
Yeah.
That's
beat LeBron James four times in a row.
That's asinine.
It's almost impossible.
To me.
Yeah. Like, and I saw Stephen A. pick the Warriors, so that's like 7 years in a row he's picked the wrong NBA final champion, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. But that's why I like listen. I don't really like listening to Cowherd and that show, but he's the biggest LeBron homer, so I like watching him when they talk about the NBA. So ESPN is kind of... They're LeBron haters, but they'll talk about him.
LeBron, Jordan, do you get into that? Do you dive into that much?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, Jordan is kind of, I don't want to say before my time, because he did play like kind of right when I was starting to get into sports. But like in the 90s, I was all baseball with the Indians being good then. So I didn't really pay attention. My dad hated Jordan. He was he's been a Cavs fan. When
Mark Price years.
Yeah, so he was at that game, the shot. And I remember my mom got me I don't even know if my dad remembers the story, but my mom bought me a Jordan jersey and brought it home. My dad made me take it back. He's like, you're not allowed to wear that. I think the next day I got like a Terrell Brandon jersey, Cavs old point guard. So he was my favorite basketball
player. What a trade. What a great trade.
Yeah. I remember that. But like if people say Jordan was better than LeBron, then he must have been really good, because I can't imagine anybody being better at basketball than LeBron James is.
This is my 100% objective take on this. Being a Jordan homer growing up and well into my adulthood, I think that Jordan was better between the years.
Yeah.
Which is saying something, because I think LeBron's pretty good too.
Yeah.
Jordan was more of a I'll cut your throat type guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like where he did it himself, where LeBron is more of a distributor.
And I think that's LeBron's knock on him, that people go at him, that he doesn't have that killer instinct like Kobe does and Jordan does. But when you put the numbers up, like he's better shooting percentage from twos and threes than Jordan. He's better efficiency wise than Jordan. He's got more rebounds than Jordan. He's got more assists than Jordan.
Like, yeah, he does all that better.
Every stat-wise is better than Jordan, other than one, and that's the rings.
And that's where I was going to go with it, because I do think that LeBron is the better player.
Yeah.
I mean, if I – this will be crazy to some, but if I could have either one in their prime, I think I would take LeBron just because of the physical specimen that he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he – we've never seen another guy built like him who could do what he does. Where Jordan 6'6", you know, and he was spectacular.
Yeah.
And he – and I think that LeBron's a better – I don't know. It's hard not being in the locker room. But I think LeBron's a good teammate. I think those guys genuinely like being around him. And I've heard stories with Jordan kind of a dick to some people in the locker room.
Yeah, and I think LeBron, like, doesn't get enough credit for how good of, like, a role model he is. I know the decision when he made that kind of changed, like, kind of social media and all that forever in a negative way maybe. But, I mean, he's never gotten in trouble off the court. He's never really gotten in trouble on the court with any, like, crazy blow-ups or anything like that. He's done everything right. He's helped his friends out. He comes from the streets of Akron in a one-parent home and is going to go down as the richest athlete in the history of sports. And just kind of, like, the role model he sets for his kids and all that stuff. And literally he's never gotten – in today's age, like, I'm the biggest Tiger Woods fan, number one favorite athlete ever, Tiger Woods. Just loved – him growing when I was growing up. But I mean, you see him getting in trouble, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. None of that ever stories have come out in LeBron.
Yeah.
So I mean, just the person, and I don't know LeBron at all, but just the person he seems that he is and how he carries himself off the court, I think doesn't get enough light.
All right. Well, I'll tell you this, if he wins this series, I mean, if people are still denying him that, then they need to look themselves in the mirror.
Yeah.
And I believe that.
And I think him being in the conversation speaks for itself.
Yes.
And people not.
Well, I think it'll take care of itself. And he's 32.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got at least 5 years to play.
At least 5 years. And I mean, no one's aged better. It could hit him like a wall, kind of like hit Kobe like a wall a little bit. But no one's aged better than LeBron. Like, he's 32. He's been in the league for 14 seasons now. And this is the best season statistically he's had.
He'll play 20.
Yeah. And I hope he can play for – I can't imagine watching basketball without LeBron.
Do you think he'll ever leave again?
No. I don't.
I've always wanted to, because, I'm not tied to the Cavs.
Yeah.
I'm one of the guys who wants to see LeBron – go to a different team every year.
Yeah.
Just because I think it'd show his greatness.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
I swear to God, I think if he went to the Sixers next year, they'd be in the NBA
100%.
Finals. I really believe that.
I 100% believe that, too. And that just shows, like, I think that's what LeBron coming home, like, made it so much more special to, like, people in Northeast Ohio that, like, people in Northeast Ohio, I know every region in the country says that it's different, but I truly believe that Northeast Ohio region is different for the people that are from there. And to have someone from, like, your own city come home and then win it for what Cleveland's gone through, I think that's what made it, like, they'll show it, like, this past week when they showed, like, LeBron screaming, "This is for Cleveland," like, I tear up every single time. Like, you just, it's hard not to, and that's what made it special, and him coming home was the best part.
Oh, that's cool. You got a lot of pride in where you're from. I like that.
Yeah.
I got a lot of pride in Southwest Iowa.
Yeah, as you should.
We don't have a lot of pro sports teams, though.
Yeah. No, but I think that's, like, what's really huge about, like people that have pride from where they're from. Like, I really think that's, like, whether they're from somewhere like Des Moines, like, where there's no professional sports teams, or Cleveland, where there's three, that they show that pride. And I see people in Iowa wear the shirts all the time that have the native shirts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff's awesome to me. And, like, just all that pride, 'cause it's not like that everywhere.
No.
Like, I can promise you, it's not like that everywhere. Just to have a pride where you're coming from and, like, to do things for your home city, I think always is something special.
Well, best of luck.
Yeah.
I'll try not to text you during games.
I'll answer unless it's bad. Usually Coach Vite texts me during games all the time, and then he gets pissed at me that I don't text him back, because it's usually, like, he was texting me during Boston series, like, "Celtics suck." And I'm like, I'm not responding to this because they're going to blow a lead. And sure enough, in game three, they did.
Yeah.
He's a jinx. And then Coach Campbell, got to stay away from him. And then Prohm will text me, too, making fun of me. I don't even know what team he likes. But I think
Prohm
he's
just trolls everybody. Yeah, he actually is. He really is a little. He's a squeaky clean guy who everybody loves, but he's a troll.
Oh, like, he sent me 10 pictures of the Boston Celtics leprechaun this past week, and then my response back to him was just pictures of LeBron.
He does that to me about the Vikings.
And I got the Redskins every the Browns play.
When I almost think that he actually taunted me when Teddy Bridgewater went down. Like he,
he's a savage now. Like, yeah. You got to be careful. Like he's all, like you say, people.
Well, he's a Redskins fan.
That's. I mean, come on. He can't even say that. It's our word.
He. Oh, he. Because we had a bet last year that he could do a podcast or something. If the Redskins won and if the Vikings won, that I got to call their first play against Kansas. And the Redskins won.
Yeah.
Luckily for Iowa State fans because they won that Kansas
exactly.
game.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, no. Yeah, he's a troll. And then Campbell, I was surprised, like, he always, like, badmouths LeBron whenever I talk to him.
But that's good, though, because he badmouthed the Indians last year, and they are three outs away from winning the World Series. And
oh, God, I didn't want to talk to you about that game, what that one must have been like.
No, I don't. I'm that's not in my memory anymore. But last year he hated LeBron. He hates LeBron because all like I said, probably the reason people hate him because he whines a lot and all that stuff and the things that
oh,
Cavs fans.
Shut up, Campbell. Quit being so just by the book for 1 minute.
Campbell, he's from 5 miles from your hometown.
Yeah,
like, I don't even.
What
care.
Do you want from the?
What
guy?
Do you want from? He brought you a championship. Like, so he'll and he's bad. He's bad mouthing the Indians right now.
What's he bad mouthing the Indians?
I don't know. They're better than what they were
and
at
I
this
find,
point last year.
I find it really hard to believe that he's sitting around watching Indians games too.
He that's the one team that he will watch religiously. I think he has the MLB package at his house.
Oh, okay.
So he'll watch the Tribe.
My mistake, Coach.
Yeah, he'll watch the Cavs when they're on TV. He's a Browns fan, but we're busy on Sunday, so usually I'll have it on in here and he'll pop in every once in a while. Yeah. So
baseball's good. I get the MLB package and I don't really watch many Braves games, but I always have it on in the background.
Yeah.
And I like to just listen to it, right?
Yeah, that's what I kind of like, too. I have the MLB package. But what makes me mad about here is that we're in the Twins market. We're in the Royals market.
Yeah.
We're in the White Sox market. Thing. And they black out half of the Indians division.
Yeah, it's brutal.
So I get to listen to a lot of the games. But their radio guy is the best in the business to me. So that, I can listen to him.
That only happens one weekend a year for me. It's when the Braves play the Brewers.
I got you.
I can never – I know whenever they're playing, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
But – yeah, yeah, that MLB blackout package, man.
It makes me so mad.
Oh, it's.
But here in like two or three more weeks, hideous. I'll be all on board with the Tribe and trying to get them going.
All right.
But
well, I appreciate the passion.
Oh yeah.
I'll if maybe we'll do a celebratory.
Oh yeah, we will.
Podcast afterwards. We probably won't do one if they lose, though.
No, probably won't want to talk about it.
But you said 100%, so
yeah,
we don't
I'm
even.
Not,
need
I'm
to.
Not worried. Yeah, Campbell's thinking I'm the jinx too, and when I'm out of control on Twitter, calling people out. And,
oh, I love it, man.
But I need to.
You're one of my favorites on Twitter because it's just like it's 100% Cavs.
Yeah, and I think Golish yelled at me last year. He goes, if people followed you on Twitter, they'd have no idea you worked here.
I'm like, you really wouldn't.
I know, and I do. Every once in a while, I'll scroll through my tweets. I'm like, when's the last time I tweeted something about Iowa State?
Well, here's
that's
the problem.
Kind of bad. I know.
Here's the problem, Skip, is we've got a lot of like really passionate. I mean, there's probably 10 to 15,000 Iowa State fans will listen to this, and I'm going to tag you on Twitter.
Yeah.
So if there's five Warrior fans out there, like, you know they're tweeting you during these games.
Oh, yeah. I got ammunition with Warrior fans. I got, for the Cubs fans, I got plenty of ammunition, so please try me on the Cubs stuff.
Well, and the Cubs is weird for me because last year it was fun because I have a relationship with the Iowa Cubs, and I know those guys, and I was rooting for them. And it was such a cool story. It was a lot like Cleveland in basketball. And then, like, I just – about two, three games into that series, I just started to hate them.
I didn't hate them until I moved out here. I promise you that. Like, I went – like, my dad took me to Wrigley when I was a kid, loved it.
Yeah.
Had some other friends that were – but you remember Kuz. He was a big Cubs fan.
Oh, yeah.
And that made me start to hate the Cubs. And but other than that, man.
Well, and what bothered me about that last year was that the Indians had just as much – not as much. I mean, the Cubs' history of losing is –
but
legendary. But it would have been a huge deal at Cleveland, too.
Yeah, I think when it started and the Indians really started to get traction, it would have been a huge deal. It might have been even a bigger parade because I would say other than LeBron being from Cleveland, like the Cavs, that's like kind of the trump that they're good and LeBron's from Cleveland, so everyone loves the Cavs. But it's a Browns town. Like Browns can go 0-16 for 10 years and it's a Browns town.
That's crazy, but I believe you. But
I mean, football is king in Cleveland. I mean, it was invented in Northeast Ohio. Like football, like Coach Maslin, like football in the crib. That's all real. Like football in Northeast Ohio is a whole different breed. And then the Indians, when they were good in the 90s, when the Browns were gone, kind of had a special relationship with the fans. And so they kind of quickly became a favorite. And when the Browns came back, they kind of came back to second fiddle a little bit. And the Cavs were always there. I mean, they were never really competing for anything. And then a hometown kid makes them blow up. But I'm just telling you, if there's a Browns Super Bowl,
oh, man.
You think a Cleveland parade with the Cavs was big? I don't even know what it would be like.
Do you remember when the Browns left, or were we too young?
The only thing, I was young. I was eight. No, I was six or seven. But I do remember my dad taking me down and watching the stadium was torn down. The Science Museum was right there. And I remember I was taking him to the Science Museum. But I remember the month after they started tearing down the stadium, he took me down there, and I saw it. And my dad will tell you he's never been the same since. He was a season ticket holder.
Art Modell, right?
I don't even speak his name. The things I'll say to him will probably get me fired, so I won't even leave it at that.
Well, the worst part of it was that they go to Baltimore, and then they won the Super Bowl.
Like, you'll see in the Believe Land, like Tony Rizzo, the guy that talks about it, he's on ESPN Cleveland. I got him on usually every morning, and he'll talk about just how much hatred, like, we have for Art Modell. Like, they had him hanging on a noose outside Cleveland Browns Stadium, and people weren't even mad. Like, I know how, like, that sounds really bad, but, like, he is, like, I'll get fired if I say what I really usually say about him. But, like, when the Browns came back, and my first Browns jersey was a Tim Couch jersey.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So
Kentucky.
Kentucky. And he's from over there.
Number two, right?
Yes, number two. And then I had a Courtney Brown jersey, and somewhat I forget. But, like, just the passion they have for the Browns is, like, is crazy to me. They've only been good 1 year since I've been – like, really a true Browns
Do they hate
fan.
The Ravens?
Yes, they hate the Ravens. They hate the Steelers more, and I know Pittsburgh Steelers fans will talk about how they really don't have a rivalry with Cleveland anymore since they left as Baltimore, which is kind of true because the Steelers have won Super Bowl since the Browns have left and all that stuff. But the reason why I respect the Steelers is that when the Browns were moving, that they had however many teams, 29 owners, vote for the move to yes, and then the Steelers owners said, don't move them. They're the only ones that didn't want the Browns to move. So I'll respect those. I won't respect the people, though, that are Indians and Cavs fans and then Steelers fans, because those people exist in Cleveland, and that's like the scum of the earth. Like,
that's like in the 90s, the Nebraska fans who lived in the state of Iowa.
In Ohio, there's a lot of Michigan fans too, with Ohio State, Michigan, like that rivalry. I mean, it's the rivalry, coming from a guy who hates both teams, growing up. I mean, that's the game, but there's plenty of Michigan fans that are Cleveland sports fans. I just never really understood that whole connection there. But, like, the Steelers fans with the Indians and Cavs drive me nuts, but I don't even know where we started with this, but I just can't stand the Steelers and the Warriors is the bottom line.
I love it. So, this has been fun. I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining me.
Anytime.
Best of luck.
Anytime. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. He's Skip. Look him up on Twitter and razz him during the NBA Finals. This would be fun. I'll tag him on this tweet as well. All right. Later, guys. Wow, that was fun. Skip has all sorts of passion for his Cleveland Cavaliers. Hope you guys learned a little bit more, not only about his fandom, in the NBA Finals, which start on Thursday, but just Skip in general. He's a really good guy. He's integral to what happens inside of the Iowa State football offices. Maybe sometime we'll get him on the podcast to talk about more about what he does with his day-to-day role as well. Today's podcast brought to you again by our friends at Agrigold. Thanks to Agrigold, you know, we're able to do what we do here for you Cyclone fans. So if you're a farmer out there, if you're in the agriculture industry, please consider giving your business to our friends at Agrigold, who support us here at CycloneFanatic.com. Also want to encourage you to do a couple of other things. If you like our product here at Cyclone Fanatic, you have a couple of different options on how you can help us out. You can buy one of our Those Guys in Ames t-shirts. Those proceeds go to CycloneFanatic.com, keeping the site up and running and free. You can support us on Patreon. There's donate buttons all over our website now. And one thing you can always do, and this is absolutely costs you nothing, you can go onto iTunes and rate our podcast and leave a comment, positive, we would hope. But that helps us with our rankings, which in return helps how we are able to sell our product here at CycloneFanatic.com. Thanks to Agrigold. Thanks to the Nitro Circus. Thanks to Greg Brabenick for joining me on today's podcast. So long, everybody.